Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. There are 18 children and teens from Florida who have joined forces to go after Governor Rick Scott and the state of Florida. They're suing him with help from the Oregon-based nonprofit Our Children's Trust. Why are they suing the governor? Well, the suit claims that Rick Scott is not protecting them from the climate-driven sea rise that's already happening, and his energy policies are making the impacts of climate change worse. And they want him and Tallahassee leaders to start working on the court-ordered climate recovery plan. Delaney Reynolds is one of the plaintiffs. She's a student at the University of Miami. She runs her own nonprofit called Sink or Swim. It's an advocacy organization focused on sea level rise and other climate change issues. Delaney, great to have you back on the program.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Also joining us is Guy Burns. He is the attorney in the suit from the JP firm, and he joins us from the studios of WUSF in Tampa. Mr. Burns, thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Guy, let me start with you. Tell us exactly, what is this suit about?
Well, the Florida Constitution, as well as statutory requirements and common law standards, establish that the environment, including air quality and scenic beauty and the rest of the things in the environment we treasure, are really held by the state of Florida and our elected officials, namely the governor and the secretary of agriculture, or the commissioner of agriculture in our state, and the head of the Department of Environmental Protection. They hold these items as trustees for the benefit of the public, and they are not taking actions to protect the trust assets, and we have environmental catastrophes that are already occurring and are going to get worse. And so our suit is an attempt to require them to discharge their fiduciary obligations and statutory obligations to protect the environment.
And this suit is similar to other suits around the country. There's also a federal suit. There's a suit that was filed back in 2015 against the United States. These are all the same, right?
They have similar theories. They're not identical, but they have very similar theories, and they all attempt to get the same relief. Make sure the listeners realize this is not an attempt by Delaney Reynolds or any of the other plaintiffs to get any money for themselves personally, but to get what's known as injunctive relief, that is compelling a course of action by the state officials to remedy their inaction and inappropriate actions today.
So that suit that I was talking about is, I believe it's called Juliana versus United States. It was filed in 2015. Deemed sound by a federal judge, it's getting a hearing in October. Are you waiting for what happens there? How will that impact your suit?
Well, we're not waiting for that, what happens. We're going all ahead full here. Regardless of what happens, our case will continue. But, of course, we're pulling hard for the plaintiffs in that case because we think that if they have a victory, it'll set some precedential value here in Florida.
So, Delaney, we've had you on the program before. We've talked about your fight to educate people on the issues of climate change and sea level rise. Why did you want to get involved in this, though?
So I learned about the federal case about 3 years ago when I was researching on climate change issues because I'm very involved with climate change topics, including sea level rise, because I run a nonprofit organization called the Sink or Swim Project that aims to educate people about climate change and sea level rise, and also works with political leaders to either create funding or laws that will start to mitigate the problems. And so when I found about the incredibly brave children who were involved with the federal case, I emailed the people at Our Children's Trust and asked them if they would be interested in doing something similar here in Florida. And they were very receptive. And so now, 3 years later, we have a great legal case and we have a great legal team. And it's finally happening and it's very exciting.
At the end of the day, Delaney, what is it you hope is going to happen? What do you want from the governor and what do you want from Tallahassee leaders?
I want them to create laws and plans that will actually begin to reduce the amount of carbon dioxide that we are pumping into our atmosphere. Thus far, the executive and legislative branches of our government, including Governor Scott and Commissioner Putnam, have failed us. They have failed to uphold the Florida Constitution and the public trust doctrine and their duties as officers of the state to protect our natural environment. And so it's time that we start doing that. I mean, we all know that you would never lock yourself inside of a garage and turn a car on because the carbon dioxide emissions from that car would kill you. And that's basically what we're doing to our environment. We're polluting the atmosphere and our waters, and we're killing our environment. And so we are seeking relief. We want them to create laws and plans in order to cut down on that carbon dioxide emissions.
Now, Governor Scott's office, his spokesman, McKinley Lewis, released a statement after the suit was filed. Said, quote, the governor signed one of the largest environmental protection budgets in Florida's history, investing $4 billion into Florida's environment. The governor's focused on real solutions to protect our environment, not political theater or a lawsuit orchestrated by a group based in Eugene, Oregon. Again, the Children's Trust is out of Oregon. This question for both of you, Delaney, let me start with you. I mean, this is the governor saying, hey, we've done a lot. We're doing a lot. The legislature passed more expenditures this past session. Again, whether it's on the Everglades or the Florida Forever program, I'll get to that in a second. But he's saying we have spent money on the environment.
Well, that money that has been spent on the environment has been decades in the making. This is nothing new. Florida's budget is approximately $80 billion, and there is not a single dollar within that budget allocated towards reducing carbon dioxide emissions. And so if the governor wants to talk about political theater, then that's exactly what he and his entire administration are performing. His entire position is basically a theatrical production. He's what people like to call an election year environmentalist. He doesn't really care about the environment. He just wants the votes because he's now running for United States Senator from the people who do care about the environment. And so all of these things that he likes to bring up, well, yes, they do exist. They have nothing to do with climate change or the reduction of carbon dioxide emissions. And that's what we're looking to relieve. And so everything that he comes back at us with is a complete lie. He does not care about the environment. And it's time for us to actually start to elect leaders who do care about the environment. I mean, we're sitting in a studio right now that is just a couple blocks away from the bay. Sooner or later, all these new buildings that are being constructed are going to start flooding because of sea level rise if we don't start solving the problem. You might not even be able to get into this studio in the future. And so that's why it's such a serious problem that we begin solving. It's time to set the politics aside.
Guy Burns, let me come to you with the same thing. Again, what the governor said, and by the way, just to say, there was $1.2 billion in the budget that was set aside for environmental, you know, projects for this upcoming year. Again, your take on the governor's stance and what he has said to in response to your lawsuit.
Well, we've reviewed the budget and proposals for the expenditure of the funds, and they don't really address what we have in our case. As Delaney said, they don't address greenhouse gases. We know that over the last few years, there's been a lot of debate and political pushing and shoving under the Scott administration about Florida Forever and the Everglades, and we don't want to take anything away from those. Those are great projects, and buying and acquiring land for preservation purposes and helping with the drainage and runoff in the Everglades, terrific projects, deserve to be funded. But our lawsuit deals with the emissions of greenhouse gases, principally carbon dioxide, and the attendant rise in temperature and level of the oceans, and other spin-off effects of excess greenhouse gases. And I've challenged the governor to tell us which dollar among those $4 billion is directed towards solving that problem. I think the answer is none.
Again, I'm talking with Guy Burns, attorney in the lawsuit by 18 children and teens in Florida against the governor and the state of Florida, again, stating that they are not doing enough to protect the people of Florida from the impacts of climate change. They want Tallahassee leaders to start working on specifically the court-ordered climate recovery plan, but that they're not doing enough in, as we've heard, keeping the carbons out of the air so that we, you know, can reduce the effects, the impacts of climate change. Also speaking with Delaney Reynolds, one of the plaintiffs, she runs the nonprofit Sink or Swim, again, an advocacy group organized, focused on sea level rise and other climate change issues. So, as you said, Mr. Burns, that, you know, we're talking about the fact that, you know, with all the money that the state has spent or is spending on different environmental issues, you really are focused mostly on, again, the carbon emissions, what's causing the climate change, the rising temperatures, the global warming, which leads to all these other problems, again, sea level rise and so forth. Is this a matter then of just saying the state has to be more proactive, maybe perhaps like California was, in reducing carbon emissions. We have to have stricter standards on cars, stricter standards on factories and things like that. Is that really what you're looking for?
Yeah, we're looking for the state to develop and implement a plan to reduce the carbon emissions that come out of the state of Florida. So a few data points. Our state imports about $56 billion worth of fossil fuels to burn in power plants every year. We're not a state that has either coal underground or massive amounts of oil, so those resources and gas, those have to be brought in from outside. And we're not using, and we're one of the lowest level uses of solar power in the United States among all the states. The state of Florida has about the world's 26th largest economy, and we are about the 26th largest emitter of greenhouse gases. So if we were a separate country, we would be among the principal countries in the world. And we need to have our leaders address this problem, and not just push it off to saying, well, we'll see what they do in Washington D.C. or what we do elsewhere. And I do think that California is acting like a leader in coming up with some ideas. I saw today in the press that they're thinking seriously about mandating all new homes after 2020 would have solar as part of the package of a new house to help generate electricity and reduce reliance on carbon fuels for the generation of electricity.
I'm glad you brought that up. Delaney Reynolds, I mean, last time we talked, you discussed that. You had worked with South Miami's mayor on coming up with a new rule that basically all new homes would go solar. Why wait for the governor in Tallahassee? Why not just city to city, county to county, and get them to change their rules on carbon emissions?
So we have been working, and the cities are actually doing amazing things. As many of your listeners probably know, Miami Beach has been spending almost $500 million to raise roads and install pumps because of the flooding that they're seeing. The city of South Miami implemented a solar law to cut back on carbon dioxide emissions. And so local cities and municipalities are doing things, but we need the support from the governor to actually make statewide impacts. I can only do so much by myself. I need your listeners' help. I need anyone who is actually concerned about this issue to talk to their political leaders as well, because there are more things that can be done at the municipality level. We're just asking now for the state to actually acknowledge this issue as well.
And you also brought up the fact this is an election year. So
yes,
the governor's running for Senate. He is challenging the incumbent, Bill Nelson. And, of course, Adam Putnam is running for governor, the agriculture commissioner now. He's running for governor. Is this also about extending this lawsuit? Is it about inserting climate change into the races for Senate and governor?
Not exactly. So climate change affects every single aspect of our society. Eventually, if things get bad enough, it will impact our economy, which it already has been in Miami Beach, which is why they implemented the roads and pumps. And it's also going to impact our government. Taxpayers aren't going to want to pay taxes if they can't even get inside of their homes. People aren't going to want to tour and be tourists here in Miami Beach if they can't access the beaches, if there aren't even any beaches. And so this lawsuit isn't directly towards Rick Scott or Adam Putnam. It's just towards the state of Florida and actually just starting to implement climate change into policies, because we need to start seeing changes.
Are you going to find yourself at any point working with any candidate? Are you going to get involved in any way in any of these elections this year?
So I just turned 18. I haven't even registered to vote yet. So I don't know if I'm going to be a Democrat, a Republican, or neither, independent. I don't know yet. So I'm not going to advocate for anyone specifically right now. But as long as they keep in mind that climate change is an issue and are focused on environmental issues, then I would be in support of them. As long as it's not Governor Scott and as long as it's not Adam Putnam, then I would be fine with it if they support environmental legislation.
And Guy Burns, again, this case, we have the federal case that's going to be heard in October. But beyond this, though, what are the next steps for you in the coming months in this fight?
Well, first of all, I do think that we're never more than 2 years away from an election in this country, whether it's for state or federal offices. And so while this case wasn't filed for political purposes, the way the election cycles go in this country, this inevitably becomes part of the political discourse and political debate. And we hope the candidates talk about this and stake out positions and put forward proposals that will advance our common good. One of the things that Governor Scott has always regarded himself as the jobs governor, and solar, if aggressively implemented in this state, would, by many estimates, create perhaps as many as 300,000 good-paying jobs in the state of Florida. So we believe that getting away from fossil fuels and moving towards solar and other sustainable energy and renewable energy sources is a good thing for jobs also. As far as what we look forward to in this case, we're going to be asking the court, first of all, to make a declaration that the global warming is real, that climate change is real, it's caused by carbon emissions, and that the state has done little or nothing in order to address that problem, and compelling the state officials, governor and commissioner of agriculture and the head of the Department of Environmental Regulation Protection, to put forward plans to correct those items. I draw people's attention to the school busing. You remember back years ago when desegregation occurred, the court said these schools are not desegregated. They need to be. School board, please go out there and come up with a plan to desegregate the schools, and if you don't do so, we, the court, will come up with a plan for you. So that's similar to what we're going to do here. We're asking the court to make a finding first that that there is no plan, we need a plan, and that these environmental impacts are real. And if the elected officials, after receiving a court instruction to come up with a plan, fail to do so, then we will ask the court to impose one on them.
Very, very briefly to wrap up, Delaney Reynolds, do you hope at any point that you'll get the governor and any other leader who has ever avoided the question of climate change to actually finally admit it?
That would be amazing. I think that anyone who denies climate change, whether it is the governor, whether it is Commissioner Putnam, needs to realize that this is happening. I've seen it get worse over my short lifetime already. I've grown up here in Miami. I've split my time living here and in the Florida Keys, where I've seen the flooding become worse, where it didn't used to do that when I was younger, but now it is. Places that I love, like Miami Beach, the Florida Keys, Matheson Hammock Park, all of these places are at the real risk of disappearing in my lifetime. And so I think it's finally time for them to wake up, realize that this is happening, realize that it's going to impact every single aspect of our society if we don't do something about it, and start to solve the problem.
Again, a group of teenagers, children and teenagers from Florida, joining forces in a lawsuit against the state, saying basically that energy policies are making the impacts of climate change worse, and they've got to stop and do something about it. We've heard from Delaney Reynolds, again, one of the plaintiffs. She runs the nonprofit called Sink or Swim, an advocacy organization focused on education on sea level rise. Also from Guy Burns, the attorney in the suit. He's from JP Firm. He joined us from the studios at WUSF in Tampa. Guy Burns, Delaney Reynolds, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
All right, still to come on the program, Miami's history as a popular destination may actually be thousands of years old. We'll explain. That's all coming up on Sundial here on WLRN.